Our speaker today is Gregor Scherzinger, who is a visiting scholar here at the Boisy Center and a PhD candidate in the Department of Moral Theology and Ethics at the University of Freiburg in Switzerland, where he also received the equivalent of a master's degree in theology and religious studies in 2007. His research includes moral theology, natural law, and political philosophy, and his dissertation is entitled Normative Ethics and Jewish Ethos, a Reconstruction of David Novak's Moral Theory and its Criticism of Political Liberalism. After leaving the Boisy Center in February 2012, he'll begin a fellowship in Jerusalem, where he previously studied at the Benedictine Dormition Abbey on Mount Zion. It's been our great pleasure to have him here for the past 10 months or so. We'll be quite sad when he and his wife, Christiane, leave us in February. But his talk today is Cause for Celebration instead, and it is entitled How God Commands Religious Liberty, Islamic Minarets, and Liberal Democracy. So welcome, Gregor.
I was born in Switzerland, and I brought some Swiss chocolate for
you. All right, we have Swiss chocolate to celebrate. So thank you all. We'll grab a piece and pass it around. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that introduction, and it's my pleasure to be a part of the program here. And I want to say thanks for having me and Christiane during the last year. It was a really nice time, and I really enjoyed the talks here at lunchtime. And so it's even a bigger honor for me that I can share in here. Eric asked me to share something of my research, and I was thinking, yeah. Well, I could talk about David Novak. You heard that is my dissertation topic, but I felt kind of uncomfortably because I don't want to talk to Americans about American politics that you all know more about than myself. So David Novak also talks, or his political thinking is very much structured along the idea of religious freedom. And so I thought maybe I choose that topic, and that made me think of the controversy we had in Switzerland, like, couple of years ago, actually the second anniversary of the vote on the ban on minarets was 2 days ago, the second anniversary. So, and I was thinking, well, I want to look into the arguments that the churches made during that time and how they used religious liberty as an argument against the referendum that asked for a ban on construction of any minaret in Switzerland. And so I looked at as a Catholic, I looked first at the Catholic arguments, and I didn't find anything about religious liberty in there. I looked for the reasons they used to say no to the referendum, but they didn't talk about religious freedom. So it was different when I was looking to Protestant and other religious communities, but that point, stick to my mind. And so the talk today is more about why religious liberty isn't there, and maybe why it's coming up again, or when the same topic or a similar topic will be discussed in Switzerland again in the coming years. And so that's kind of introductory remarks to what I'm going to talk about. I have like 3 points in my talk. First, I want to give a bit of background on the controversy itself, that's like how it came to be, and actually also what the political thinking behind the party that was in favor of this ban, what this political thinking is. And the second part is then the churches, or especially the Catholic Church, for the sake of the argument today, how did the churches react to that referendum? And third, I want to talk about how the vote may have changed how the Catholic Church in Switzerland looks at their position in the public field. So let me start with with a short chronology of the referendum. We have to see that in 2005 there have only been 3 mosques with a minaret in Switzerland, and when the first mosque was built with a minaret, that was in 1960 in Zurich, actually, there was not much of a debate about it at all. And so only in 2006, the debate started with when another 3 Muslim communities had projects to build a minaret close to their mosque or close to their organization building. And at one place in Wangen, you can forget the name of the place again, but it's a very small place in Switzerland, and there the Turkish cult organization has a kind of, well, communal prayer room. They also have like meeting rooms in the same building. It's out in the business district somewhere. And they wanted to build a minaret. There was a complaint from the Catholic Church, the local Catholic Church, Protestant churches, and a lot of citizens, and so the municipality decided to prohibit the community from building the minaret. And the Turkish, the cult organization didn't go along with that. They complained that on the level of the canton and the building department actually allowed them, overruled the prohibition. And this went along back and forth, and finally the federal court actually overruled definitely the prohibition to build the minaret. So the minaret is now was built in 2009, early 2009. But on the, when this debate was going on, there already has started the process, the official process that needs to be taking place, that you get a popular referendum start in Switzerland, and so the Swiss People Party, which is a more right-oriented party that has grown quite a lot in the last 30, 40 years in Switzerland, they started collecting signatures in order to get a referendum through, and this referendum was judged as officially valid 2008, and so the date of the vote was put out. That same day, that was the 29th of November 2009, and as you may know, in 2009 the people of Switzerland decided 57.5% or with a majority of 57.5% to accept the ban on minarets, and also with a majority of 19.5 cantons out of 23. So that's a big majority, and also the participation in the vote was actually quite high. It's a 53% that it's very, very much for Switzerland. So that's one part of the story. And I think the other part of the story that needs to be told about this is does the minaret referendum fit into the political culture of the Swiss People's Party, which is, as I said, responsible mainly for this referendum. And here I want to show like a few of the campaign posters that have been used during the last decade by this party, and in order to show that, well, what stereotypes, what kind of thinking is behind that. The first, this was used in the campaign that was about the free movement of labor between Switzerland and the EU. There was an agreement that was part of the bilateral agreements between Switzerland and the EU, and here the referendum said free entry for all, no. And as you can see how it's put out, it's based on the idea that, well, it's us, it's Switzerland in the middle, and it's the other that comes from the outside. Here the black ravens, and I think that's a general strategy that we can see in the campaign posters. So it's like the other, it's luring over Switzerland, kind of, well, in dangers, coming from the other side, it's black. And the same thing is here. You can see that's actually the referendum that was, it was against the naturalization of foreigners, and it wanted to tighten that process. And so what it says here also is like the others coming from outside taking away what we have and kind of asks the question, what is left if the box of passports is empty? So, and again, like the endangering factor from outside are here, it's like the hands of colored people. yeah, points to the fact that the other seems to be the danger. So from here, it's, I think it's an easy step to like to make a moral evaluation. And as you can see in the next one, it's very easy to, although this polarity between me and the other, it's very easy to say, well, we are actually the good and the other one is the bad. And so here, in, that was a campaign against the abuse of asylum. And here you can see like a criminal breaking basically into Switzerland and, you know, tearing it apart. Which shows like the danger that the other is here. So, and that was actually, and that was also, I think, the topic of the current campaign that the party is running. The campaign is about to stop, we need to stop the mass immigration into Switzerland. And here we are, we see like black people in masses invading into what is assumed to be Switzerland. So I think we, this strategy of polarized between the we, the other, the white, red, and the black, and the we as the endangered, and the enemy that comes from the outside, who, well, happens to be criminal as well, brings kind of up the idea that those two cultures are incompatible. And those, like, the bad guys don't fit into our culture, and if they are here, well, we better get rid of. And that was, you can see this, this was in 2009 in a campaign in order to, in favor of an automatic deportation of criminal foreigners. And I think it's the most infamous poster of all of them. And there was a big discussion about that in all over in Europe, because it also was taken up by other extremist parties in Europe. So, well, you see the white sheep kicking out the black sheep, which symbolizes the criminal foreigner. And it says, like, yeah, we have to look after security here. So let me now get to the Minaret post. And the Minaret post, only by having seen those posters, I think you would recognize the following poster as to come from the same place. So you might have seen that before. And now it's like the minarets that symbolize the other, the dangerous, the, and that manifest the culture that is not fitting into Switzerland. And if you're not already persuaded by that, the minarets, there is another symbol. It's the burqa-wearing woman that shows. And so I think we can see that the same strategy as in the other posters is also used in this campaign. And it's also about the same topics. It's about the policy on foreigners. The black other, the alien, is the one that is dangerously covering Switzerland with the minarets. And I think another thing that this poster shows is that it's not really, and it's not only about the minarets. And I think that's important to have in mind for the following things. Because it's more like the whole Islamic culture or religion that is part of the discussion. And so you can think, or you might imagine, that in the political debate, all those other stereotypes we might know from the debates about Islam and its place in the Western societies also came up, like what is the function of Sharia law in our society, what is the topic of oppression of women, lack of will of integration of Muslims, intransparent structures of Muslim organizations, and also like Islam as a feeding ground for terrorism. And it actually was openly admitted by the initiators that the minaret only was kind of like, yeah, a symbol for what they really wanted. And there was like a serious talk about the place of Islam in society. A side effect of this was that, well, we had this Islamic culture, and then, well, we had the Swiss culture. And the identity of the Swiss society, as you can see here, only comes out as like, yeah, the white red, the white cross on red ground, and it's not really... there's not really much content. And so the other culture was religiously defined, so we needed also something that religiously defined, or a religion that defines us. And so the talk about the Occidental Christian culture came up and was used also quite heavily. And that brought actually the churches into the position that they were, well, I would say, instrumentalized to be the representatives of the Swiss culture. And that leads me to my second point. I'll keep that. What did the churches do about that? That, like, their steeples were taken as a symbol of the, or like a, as an antagonist to the minarets. And there actually was a strong front of religious communities and churches. Everyone had a statement out there saying, well, we are against the ban, it's the wrong thing to do. But a second look at it kind of cracks this picture, because I think there's a disturbing ambivalence in those statements. And I have here three statements in mind, three Catholic statements, and we might very shortly look into them. And the ambivalence that shows up is that, on the one hand, they affirm the right to build a minaret of Muslims. On the other hand, but on the other hand, they kind of affirm and reassure only the regarding the question of what the position of Islam is in our society, they only affirmed the stereotypes and that were used in the political debate by the supporters of the ban, and actually only like, well, even assured that it's really a problem here. And the anxiety affirmed by this, the anxiety they affirmed was actually on the ground that the whole debate was feeding on. So they made use of the stereotypes, unwantedly, I think, fell prey to the political debates and unintentionally even enforced the image of a non-integrable Islam in Switzerland, and kind of through the back door brought more legitimacy to the campaign itself, I think. So let's, for example, take a statement that there was a statement of the Task Force Islam, that is a task force of the Swiss Bishops Conference, and they had the following reasoning. And I want to quote this, because it's, I think the full ambivalence shows up very clearly. So, quote, "The construction of a minaret should be allowed if it complies with the law in every respect." Well, that's clear till now, but now comes the big but. Quote, "It should be prohibited if, visibly or subliminally, it has an agenda that might endanger the religious peace in Switzerland." So, what I think as a result, the refusal of the ban had like a proviso, like the condition if or not construction of minaret should be allowed is based on the affirmation that minarets actually can be used and are used by Muslim organizations in order to push a political agenda, and a political agenda that is not non-compatible with our society here. And in spite of the will to oppose the ban, the argument actually affirms this stereotype. Stereotype that Islamic religion is a dangerous thing, and that we have to be actually afraid of it, because it might, or actually it, below the surface, it might actually, with hidden motives, endanger or take away something from us. And in kind of the same trap of ambivalence, Bishop Kurt Koch, who happened to be the head of the Swiss Bishops Conference during that time, he gave an interview to the Neue Zürcher Zeitung, which is kind of New York Times of Switzerland, and was asked about the minaret question that came up during that time. And he said, for sure, yeah, I would grant the Muslims the right to build a minaret because it's a sign of their identity and so on. But he links the controversy to discourse about the Christian light culture. So he kind of, on the one hand, yeah, I'm in favor of it, but on the other hand, there is something about, well, we have to look at the multicultural society of Switzerland. Maybe it's wrong to look at Switzerland as a multicultural society, only as a multicultural society, because we have kind of Christian foundation of the society that we have to affirm. And because we don't affirm it right now, all the controversies about religion and also about the minarets actually come up. So, and a third statement I want to bring up here is the statement that the bishops gave out only 2 months before the vote. So that was like in September 2009. And here the positioning was clearer. They said, because they also gave a justification, they said, well, we are against the minarets referendum, we are against the ban on minarets, and we are that because it's against democratic principles and Christian values. That was the terms they used. Unfortunately, they didn't say what principles or values they actually were thinking of. And an interesting feature in this statement is that in the middle, between like the position and the justification, there is they hint to another discourse, or they make remarks about the situation of Christians in Islamic countries, as in, or maybe for example in Arabian countries. And although they want to avoid the impression that it's like a tit for tat, so that, I mean, Christians should be allowed to build churches, if not, Muslims shouldn't be allowed here, neither. They want to avoid that, but I think it's fair to ask a question, why did they bring it up in a statement that is actually about a concrete controversy in the Swiss society, which was actually about, should we take a ban on minarets into the Swiss constitution? And yeah, that's a question that I think is fair to ask. So I try to show with those statements that there is an ambivalence. The ambivalence lies in there is a willingness to be against or to grant the right to ban, to grant the right to build a minaret, but at the same time there's also the statements adapt a debate or the discourse that the minarets itself only like substituted for from the beginning. So like there was a discourse about the role of Islam in the Swiss society. And now let me finish with let me get to my third point. And the bishops, I think, realized that their positioning was not clear enough during the referendum. And I think that they also realized that it showed some of this ambiguity or ambivalence that I tried to show. And maybe they reflected on why and how they were instrumentalized in the debate itself. And the reason I think they did that can be shown, I think, by two political statements that came from the Catholic Church and were part of the debates around the federal election that took place recently this year, actually in October, November. And here, amidst the election campaigns, two commissions of the Swiss Catholic Bishops' Conference gave a press conference, and they declared their objection to an advertisement that the Swiss People's Party was running in different newspapers in Switzerland. And the ad was in support of the referendum. The Swiss People Party was running parallel to the election campaign, and the referendum was the one that we have seen before, in order to stop mass immigration into Switzerland. And the advertisement that you see here related to a recent case where two men who happened to be Kosovo Albanians attacked and injured seriously a Swiss, and with a knife they tried to cut his throat. And so the Swiss People's Party made out of this slogan which said like Kosovo Albanians / the throats of Swiss. So that's, and then here there's a part of an article that was shown in another newspaper, in a very popularistic newspaper, that they also took into this advertisement. And here we can see again the poster that they used stop to mass integration campaign. So the statement of the two commissions actually is what they did, they didn't really object to the Swiss People's Party directly, but they objected in a very precise and pointed way the mode the political discussion is led. And they made two arguments. First, which they identified this slogan to be stirring up hatred against one ethnic group and like inciting this peace and dispute between two ethnic groups. And they made clear that this slogan violates basic rules of what they see is a fair political discourse. So they think it's against the fundamental respect for every human being. And they also made the argument that the formulations here is immoral because it's contemptuous and it's inhuman. So in this statement, they decided not to address the context of the referendum or the political context of the mass immigration thing. They only addressed the mechanics of the political propaganda that is used here and made a judgment about the effects and showed, I think in a very concise way, the immoral aspect of it. And in this respect, another thing is interesting, another poster that came out that was done by the diocese of St. Gallen. And this poster calls for the citizens to elect attitude. That's what it says at the top. It's like we elect attitude, and the hand is like filling out the ballot, and instead of like names of politicians or parties, there are the lanes are filled with values and attitudes. So checked are dignity and fairness, and in between the discrimination is crossed through, and further down tolerance, scaremongering and exclusion. Well, they are not yet decided on, so it's up to the citizens, to the voter to choose. And on the pencil it says like Paul ethics. That's what I say. So I think this poster again leaves it up to the voters to decide, and only wants to remind him or her of what guidelines for the political discourse, what the guidelines should be. And I think in this regard it has the same orientation as the other example that I showed, that it's they want to put like the dignity of for every human being into the middle of political discourse, and not like the human being as part of an ethnic group. So, well, let me finish this. I think from to look at this, it's fair enough with what I've tried to show. It's fair enough to say that there was a shift in the way the Catholic Church tried to present itself in the public or in political debates. And I think they want the respect for a human being, the recognition of the dignity of a human being. They want to have that, and the fairness that one owns to that. They want to have that in the middle of the political debates. And in this point, like, you know, when taking side with the human being, those statements see the original political contribution and task of the Church. We also might see in this like a shift towards a more like multicultural way of thinking of society, and more structured by the idea of multicultural, not that much structured by a policy of identity. If this shift will hold on, if it's another discussion about another religion comes up, maybe where Islam is again implied, it's not guaranteed, but maybe the consequence could be that the Catholic Church has recognized that God commands religious liberty through the rule of law or democratic principles. Yeah.
Thank you.